There were times, some of which are recorded in the Sumerian texts, such as the Great Flood, when humans were abandoned and left to die on the planet, while the gods they trusted left in their spaceships. During these times, some gods illegally rescued chosen humans. This has created an emotional encoding within the human species during times of crisis. The encoding remembers both of these patterns, and a struggle is activated between the fear of abandonment and the joy of salvation. It is imperative that the human race resolve this dependence on the gods and become self-sufficient. On present-day Earth, extraterrestrial groups whose encodings are rooted in the past still promise salvation. They come to humans as physical space beings or speak telepathically to those who can hear their frequency. Often they name various Earth humans commanders or chosen ones, and continue to tempt the human ego to perpetuate their own feelings of superiority. Though these off-planet groups mean well for the most part, they continually perpetuate the gap between the fear of abandonment and the joy of salvation, thus encouraging the separative belief in elitism. As humans take their own power and enter planetary adulthood, those remnant groups will transform as well. The majority of other extraterrestrial groups have learned from their past actions and desire a resolution of this conflict once and for all. From the point of view of the founders, the plan was continuing perfectly. The Liren group needed to play out their scenario for their own growth. These early extraterrestrial gods left behind clues on Earth that will eventually assist in awakening the planet to its heritage. As humanity awakens to this knowledge, it will begin to bring into play the tools that are needed to resolve the Orion drama. Resolution comes from allowance. If the human race can truly allow diversity within unity from a point of non-judgment, heaven on Earth will be created. These Lirans, as well as others, have been known by the Hebrew term Nephilim, erroneously translated as giants. Nephilim literally means those who have come down. Genesis 6:4 states, "The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God went to the daughters of men and had children by them. They were the heroes of old, men of renown." The original Hebrew term translated as renown is Shem, which literally means airborne vehicle, possibly rocket ship. Hence, they were the heroes of old, people of the rocket ships. As implied previously, the Pleiadians carried Earth genetics that successfully integrated into the Liren stock. Thus they became the ultimate choice to seed the Terran race on Earth. Zeta Reticuli, transformation and awakening. They seek the very depths of the soul. They seek communion. Whitley Strieber. The beginnings of the Zeta Reticuli civilization can be traced back in time to the inception of the apex planet in the Liren system by the founders. Theirs is a unique and poignant development that has significant relevance to the evolution of planet Earth. The apex planet allowed polarity, expressed through extreme individualization, to tear them apart. Their technological evolution occurred rapidly, surpassing their spiritual development, which prevented them from coexisting peacefully on their world. This imbalance in energy caused the virtual destruction of the apex planet. From the view of an observer in space, the apex world was obliterated. From the point of view of the apex inhabitants, a different story occurred. The apex planet became extremely toxic. Pollution and high-level radiation made the planet's surface uninhabitable. The Apexians who survived the catastrophe secluded themselves underground. It was imperative that integration occur within this new underground society, lest the cycle of destruction recreate itself. Recognizing its importance, they decided to force integration, fusion, through a total restructuring of their reality. As the apex planet approached its destruction, mentality and intellect were so highly developed that it was becoming noticeable in the physical forms of the Apexians. The craniums had increased in size significantly over very few generations. Natural childbirth became less and less successful because the craniums were not passing easily through the birth canal. The females simply could not adapt to the rapidity of cranial growth. Anticipating what may be a species crisis, genetic engineers began learning cloning techniques which could eventually replace the birth process. For the Apexians, this move saved their species, for after the planet's surface became uninhabitable, the Apexians found themselves sterile. Once they realized they were sterile, the Apexians decided to use it to their advantage. They no longer wanted the type of civilization they once had. They wanted to begin anew. Thus they steadfastly decided to rigidly control the genetics of their future society. Genetic engineers began work on the development of their new race. This race, they believed, would be an integrated aspect of their past. The first priority was to genetically alter the brain structures to affect emotional expression. They shunned their past expression of passion and chaos. They now wanted order. Their brains were thus altered to output a consistent chemical response to external stimuli. They achieved detachment from their ego structure. Over generations of neurochemical manipulations, the Apexians became a group mind. The individualistic expressions they were once extremely proud of were now gone. The combination of planetary radiation and the effects of their cloning began to produce a race with little physical variance from one person to the other. In order to utilize the planet's underground environment more efficiently, their bodies were created smaller in stature. In adaptation to the absence of ultraviolet light and natural sunlight, their eyes began to respond to different frequencies of the visual spectrum. Their pupils mutated to cover the entire eye, and the eyes enlarged to allow more surface space for gathering light. In response to the lack of fresh food, their bodies eventually adapted to the absorption of certain frequencies of light as nourishment. Their skin became photothermic and photovoltaic, sensitive to light sources in the underground caverns. Salvaged plants and luminiferous underground minerals aided in their nourishment. Many of their organs, such as those of the digestive and reproductive systems, thus began to atrophy. The transformation they underwent touched every aspect of their beings. A new civilization began to emerge. The force and vibration of the Apexians' previous atomic blasts eventually folded the space surrounding the Apex planet, and they emerged on the other side of a dimensional doorway. During the underground seclusion, which lasted thousands of years, the Apexians had no idea that their planet had changed its position in time and space. It wasn't until they emerged onto the planet's surface generations later that they found the starfield had shifted dramatically. It was then that they knew the extent of their actions. The Apex planet had shifted its position, relative to time and space, in the cosmos. It now existed slightly off in dimension compared to the worlds they were familiar with. To understand what had occurred and use the knowledge to their benefit, they began to master the science of folding time and space. The day they finally emerged onto the planet's surface once again, they had become a new species. Like a phoenix rising from the ashes, they had managed to produce transformation from destruction. They were no longer Apexians. They now assumed a new identity, that of one people reflecting the whole. From Earth's point of view, these one people can now be called the Zeta Reticuli. Their planet, through its shift in dimension, inserted itself into the vicinity of Zeta Reticuli 1 and Zeta Reticuli 2 in the Reticulum Rhomboidalis star group. From that base they began re-establishing their connections with the founders of life. To this day they continue to carry out the wishes of the founders for galactic evolution. What they are just beginning to realize is that they are carrying out their own evolution as well. Today, the Zeta Reticuli require a way to strengthen their genetic line in order to create a future for their race. After generations of cloning using the same genetic material, they became severely inbred and stagnant in their evolutionary growth. Their race is dying, but their oversoul wishes to continue incarnating in physicality. They are deliberately keeping themselves from transitioning to fifth density in order to leave behind a seed of themselves that can genetically continue to reproduce. This will aid the galactic whole in its evolution. Recognizing their predicament, they called out to the founders, the founders introduced the Reticuli to a diverse planet that genetically possessed a gene pool from many human-type species as far back as the inception of the Lyran races. Instead of the Reticuli going from civilization to civilization gathering genetic material, they could now get it in one place. This planet is Earth. The Reticuli were primarily attracted to Earth in the 1940s, when the planet began to possess the technology to self-destruct. They are quite aware that their past represents a future possibility for Earth. Because of their ability to travel through time, they could have gathered genetic material from any time in Earth's past. However, they needed genetic material from a period of Earth's history when civilization stands on the brink of destruction and transformation. This will aid them in their own integrative process. In a sense, it is their way of changing their past. By interacting with present-day Earth, they heal their past and change their future. Today on Earth they carry out this genetic program. Since this planet has not yet understood or embraced the idea of soul choice, most of the individuals who are participants in this genetic program consider themselves victims. There are thousands of stories of terrorized abductees who are plagued by reoccurring experiences of extraterrestrials who snatch them from their warm beds. Experiences of terror occur because humanity is not yet willing to face its own shadow, which is reflected in the mirror that the Reticuli represent. The Reticuli primarily seek specific human characteristics that they bred out of their race eons ago. One such characteristic is a variability of reaction to external stimuli. To relearn this, they must sample and study human neurochemical reactions to a myriad of stimuli. Their most common method of studying these neurochemical secretions is by the implantation of an organic probe. These probes are inserted into the head of the abductee through either the nose, eye, or ear cavity. These probes absorb and catalog neurochemical data and are removed periodically for study and then reinserted. Should an individual die, the organic probe can be naturally absorbed by the body. Not only are they seeking biological information from humans, but they are also seeking emotional learning as well. It has been eons since they parented children. The human nurturing ability is a fascination to them. As they begin altering their neurochemical structures, they will once again be able to respond maternally to their progeny. This is one of the primary reasons why women are abducted and asked to hold hybrid children. These human females are helping to reawaken the maternal and procreational instincts of the Zeta Reticuli. Humanity is not only helping them, they are playing a vital role for Earth as well. The founders are well aware that Earth's humanity must integrate itself on several levels or the scenario of conflict will continue. The Reticuli reflect to the human race one of the most fundamental ideas that it has denied unity. Humans reflect to the Reticuli their own individuality, which terrifies them. If the gap created by humanity's fears can be bridged, transformation will occur in a most profound way. The Reticuli are presently acquiring genetic material from volunteers who have, on a soul level, agreed to be a part of the awakening of the Earth and the birth of a new civilization. At this stage of the game, fear is still needed on the part of the abductees. On Earth, fear is a primary obstacle to growth. If humanity can move through fear, it will achieve many goals that presently seem out of reach. It will be done through awareness, not through the validation of victimhood. The Reticuli need to confront their fear as well, which they still deny, and move through it. Without that fear, growth would be minimal. Sometimes the greatest barriers produce the greatest rewards. One of these rewards is the creation of a new hybrid race who possess the integrated qualities of the Zeta Reticuli and the Earth human. They will be unified and diverse. They will be rich with humor and fluid with their emotions. Most of all, they will be the unconditionally loving heralds who lead us back to the source of all. One, this underground seclusion produced various factions of Apexians. The one explored in the present chapter is a more benign race. Others who were more negatively oriented, and assisted in creating the chaos on the Apex planet, eventually left the Apex planet after thousands of years and settled in areas of Sirius and Orion, most notably Betelgeuse. The negative beings who have present interaction with Earth have been labeled as the negative Sirians and the Greys. They have their own motivations for their interactions with Earth. 2. As stated in footnote 1, there were many factions of Apexians who went underground. While underground, several factions developed themselves into benign Zeta Reticuli races. These benign entities are the ones addressed in Chapter 9. The faction discussed in footnote 1 can be considered the negative Zeta Reticuli, who, after the shift into the Reticulum star system, left the original Apex planet and colonized another planet in the Zeta Reticuli system. They are nearly identical in appearance and can be differentiated only by their vibration or behavior, which is inherently negative in nature. Perhaps when contradictory versions of the Zeta Reticuli are seen, humans are actually interacting with the Reticuli from different evolutionary points in their historical timeline, even though they all come from Earth's future. The more negative manifestations might be their past, whereas some of the more harmless interactions might occur from a further evolved state. When they come to humans in the present, it is assumed that they originate from a single point in time. If they are indeed coming to Earth from various points in their development, it would explain the wide range of reported abduction experiences conducted by the same beings. 3. Webster's dictionary defines reticula as like a network, complicated. Some may surely attest that the psyche of the Zeta Reticuli beings is complicated indeed. For one of the most famous early cases of UFO abduction that supports the origin of these beings is the Betty and Barney Hill case. In 1961, Betty Hill was shown a map of a star group during her abduction. Years later, she drew this map while under hypnosis. At the time, there was no reference to this group on known star charts. It has since been discovered that Betty's drawing matches a newly discovered star group seen from Earth's southern hemisphere. The star group, Reticulum rhomboidalis, the rhomboidal net, houses the star group now labeled Zeta Reticuli 1 and 2. 5. Although most abductions are carried out by the Zeta Reticuli, there are isolated incidents of other groups using the abduction scenario for their own purposes. For example, the negatively oriented Sirians, Orions, and those termed the Greys very often use terrorizing methods. It is essential that humans learn to differentiate the benign Zeta Reticuli contact from the more malevolent interactions. OCR Editor, benign Zetas are screen memories implanted by government and reptilian, mantis, Nordic beings to cover up the true abuses happening in the abduction phenomenon. This book is full of rationalizations and slick disinformation. Do your research before swallowing it. Chapter 10. Integration, coming home to ourselves. And while all other creatures from their birth with downcast eyes gaze on their kindred earth, he bids man walk erect, and scan the heaven from whence his soul has sprung, to which his hopes are given. Ovid. Integration means the allowance of all levels of being as valid portions of the whole. It means letting go of denial. It means embracing ourselves as well as each other. Just as our unified consciousness created this realm of polarity, we can transform it. When integration occurs, this realm will become defined by very different parameters. We will become the archetypes as well as the founders. We will shift perspective and become conscious of ourselves as the creator. It does not necessarily mean that our identities will be absorbed. It could mean that we will awaken to the point where we will consciously choose our destinies. Perhaps we may choose to enter other realms and be the unseen friends for planetary societies still playing the game of separation. We may even be another planet's extraterrestrials pondering the same decisions regarding interference that our forefathers faced. Instilling ourselves and listening closely, we can hear and feel the undercurrents of this transformation. Existence and change are the only constants. We can play the game of illusion that we are an accidental creation, but sooner or later we tap ourselves on the shoulder and the game is up. In Earth's reality we have created the Arcturans, Sirians, Lyrans, Orions, Reticuli, Pleiadians, etc., to be the selves who tap us on the shoulder. They are really part of the same one thing, us. So how on earth do we encourage integration to take place? First of all, we must know that it will take place with or without our conscious action. The difference is only that conscious action will allow the journey to be more enjoyable. We will feel more in control of our destinies. The conscious action that will accelerate our integration process is very simple: allowance. If we allow on all levels in which the integration takes place, we will see our paths unfold before us joyously. Integration will take place on four main levels: mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. Mental: for us to integrate our mentality means that we allow ourselves to combine not only our cerebral processes, but our intuitive and emotional ones as well. The kind of thought today that is validated most is almost entirely head-centered. Formulas and calculations determine the reality of 20th century Earth. If we can allow ourselves to understand that the intuitive and emotional processes are just as valid and can be used in combination with the mental, we will be well on our way toward integrating our mentality. Integration, coming home to ourselves emotional. Integrating emotionally means that we begin learning how to embrace our shadow self. We can start opening inner closets and digging deep into the subconscious for beliefs which hold us back. More often than not, these neglected parts of ourselves only want attention. As the Pleiadians and the Lyrians before them discovered, denial only prolongs the pain of existence. Let us learn from these other selves on distant worlds. Let us not repeat the same lessons over and over again. Spiritual. To integrate spiritually is perhaps the easiest of all. Each person possesses an inner spirituality that is not connected to doctrine. If we can release the doctrine and touch the innate spirituality, we begin the integration process. It extends outward onto the planet by the honoring of every person's truth as a manifestation of the one truth. This allows each of us to coexist within our philosophies without needing to change each other's beliefs. The fact that God, all that is, exists is not changed by our argument over which color robe he wears. We are so afraid of being alone and separate that we create even more separation through our desire to have a unified doctrine. If we have the courage to begin touching this inner spirituality, we will see our transformation blossom. Physical. Integration physically is slightly different. It involves an acknowledgement of our past and our history as being part of a grander scenario on a cosmic scale. From the source and the founders we fragmented. We have stretched our individualization to its outer limits. Coming together will require us to once again acknowledge and accept ourselves as part of our galactic family. As we move through our racial fears and stop allowing skin color and cultural differences to be barriers between us, we also move through our fears by celebrating the communion that the Zeta Reticuli offer us. We can allow integration on all levels into our physical life here on Earth. Not one of us is from another place. We are from the source, and the source is vast. To say we are from the Pleiades is a denial of all the other ideas that we are. Our terrestrial selves become confused if we continually deny that our existence is part of the planet's body. We are of all that is. If we feel a connection to an off-planet race, we are identifying with what they represent or with various lives we have lived in that system. If individuals insist on stating they are from somewhere, the suggestion is offered that they proclaim their alliance with Earth. They have chosen a life here. In a very real sense, Earth people can be seen as models for integration. We are divine and terrestrial, of gods and men. We are proof positive that human life can adapt to seemingly insurmountable circumstances. Let us celebrate humanity. There are no space brothers who are really going to save us. They are too busy saving themselves. We are not children. Though we are still playing the game of unawareness somewhat, we are looked at by other civilizations as an enigma. We are the civilization that refused to die. Our resilience and faith in our abilities has continually proven our worth. We refuse to be dominated and used by the Lyran group in the Garden of Eden. Various plagues by the gods have not succeeded in wiping us out. Thanks to Noah and the Syrian overlord who warned him, we have a flourishing civilization today. Many have wondered why Earth has been observed by so many extraterrestrial groups. Perhaps we are a predictable demonstration of integration in action. It may be painful, but in our mass conscious belief, pain can produce miraculous results. Earth of the present and Earth of the future is indeed that miracle. Let us celebrate that miracle by integrating ourselves and taking responsibility for our planetary reality. We are part of an association of worlds and our membership is up for renewal. This time, membership requires our awakening to the cosmic drama of which we've agreed to be a part. Our awakening will lead us home. To ourselves. Glossary of terms. Abductions. From the point of view of an abductee, this is the unwilling detainment by various extraterrestrial groups for the purposes of 1. Study. 2. Genetic sampling. 3. Tracking of genetic family histories. 4. Maintaining and developing hybridization programs. 5. Human maternal response observation. 6. Observation of neurological responses to emotional stimuli. 7. Communication, and other purposes, including 8. The instillment of fear and terror, which is believed by the negatively oriented extraterrestrials to halt the development or acceleration of the abductees and of the mass consciousness. Listed are some groups involved in abductions and their primary reasons for interaction. Zeta Reticuli, number 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Physical Sirians, negative, number 1, 2, 3, 8. Pleiadians, number 1, 3, 6, 7. Greys, number 8. Physical Orions, negative, number 8. Adam, this is the label given to the first stable prototype model of Homo sapiens. Adam comes from the Hebrew Adama, meaning created of the earth's soil, thus earthling. In Sumerian the word is Adapa, meaning model man. All that is, this is a term that many use in place of God or the Creator, because it includes the observer as part of the Creator. Altair, Altair, whose civilization was colonized from Vega, lies 15.15 light years from Earth. Altair's magnitude is 1.3 and its color pale yellow. The Altair civilization is quiet and contemplative, given to peaceful philosophic orientation. They are not currently involved in space exploration. Andromeda, Andromeda is a large spiral galaxy and is the closest to the Milky Way at a distance of 2.2 million light years. The nature of the Andromeda realm is abstract and fluid. A dimensional doorway exists in our nearby galactic neighborhood as a bridge to the Andromeda energy. This bridge, doorway is the star Antares. Angels, angelic kingdom, existing within the realms of fifth and sixth density. The angelic kingdom has interacted with Earth through various means. These include spirit guide manifestation, visions, inspiration, channeling, and telepathic communication. Energies appearing as angels are frequently from the Arcturus realm. Antares, lying in the Scorpius constellation, Antares is considered a binary star of fiery red and emerald green. Antares is the interdimensional bridge to Andromeda from our galaxy. Some souls, upon physical incarnation, choose to pass through the Antares gateway to reactivate soul memory. Anubis, in ancient Egypt, Anubis was considered a guide of the underworld. His usual depicted form was that of a crouching desert dog or jackal. He was known to lead souls through the astral, as in dream state, as well as to Amenti, or land of the dead. It is interesting how the prefix An in both Sumerian and Egyptian means of heaven. Anubis, Anpu in Egyptian, and Anu, Sumerian, both possessed the symbology of the jackal or dog, suggesting a direct connection to the dog star Sirius, apex planet, Apexians. The apex planet was one of the first developed societies in the Lyran star group. After its planetary catastrophe, the apex planet was shifted dimensionally into another region of space, time. The Apexians eventually became the race of the Zeta Reticuli. Archetype. The Living Webster Encyclopedic Dictionary defines archetype as model or first form, the original pattern after which a thing is made, or to which it corresponds. This definition suggests that all of our archetypal ideas are inherent patterns, dating from the birth of galactic humanity, that continue to evolve. New symbols of these patterns are being found, but the innate properties are the same. Arcturus. Arcturus is seen as a golden yellow star, with a magnitude of 0.3. Its energy works with humanity as an emotional and spiritual healer. It is also an energy gateway through which humans pass during death and birth. It functions as a way station for non-physical consciousness to become accustomed to physicality.